Thank you, Scott. What an honor it is to be a part of this conference and just to attend this conference. I know you have been blessed. I have been so blessed by all the teaching. What a great topic before us as we talk about godly fatherhood. And what a joy to be with other fathers and Lord willing, soon to be fathers. And to look at the Word of God and to say, how do we do this? There are many of us, and we're going to look at Proverbs 4 as Solomon exhorts his own children, seeks to disciple them. He points back to his father. We're going to look at David, a father who taught his son, and how his son pointed that out to his own children. And yet there are probably many in this room who'd say, you know, I wish I had that. I wish I could have pointed back to my father and tell my children, hey, my dad did this. My dad discipled me. He taught me the Word of God. But far too many today in the church in America cannot say that. I am blessed to have a Christian father. I still remember at various times my dad, just by the working of the Holy Spirit, I'm not sure, he didn't go to conference like this. He didn't have a Scott Brown. He didn't have NCFIC. But he would try to start family worship. I don't know where he got it from, Scott. I don't know who taught it to him. I'm just the working of the Lord. And we would do it for a week or so, and then it would stop. And to my shame, it was not because my father lacked the courage or convictions, because we fought him in every turn. But I did have a godly father who loved the Lord, who sought to teach me the Word of God, to put me under godly men who would teach me the Word of God, who still to this day, by the grace of God, lives and continues to exhort me to seek the Lord and to walk in His ways. As we look at Proverbs 4, that's what Solomon is explaining to his children, is sharing with them the wisdom of his father in the goal of exhorting his own children, discipling them to seek wisdom and to seek God. As we begin this morning, I don't want to begin in Proverbs 4. I actually want to go to Ephesians 6. Now, you can turn there if you want. I'll just tell you quickly what it says. You know what it says. Because as we look at an Old Testament passage, I believe some of the hermeneutic principles that we need to apply is that the Old Testament informs the New, and the New Testament interprets the Old. And that there is a continuity here. That when we get to Ephesians 6 and Paul says to the church, fathers, bring up your children, the discipline, instruction of the Lord. This is not a new idea. This is not Paul as an apostle saying, we need to come up with a new plan for the family. We look back to the Old Testament, we see this informs us. Proverbs 4 informs us and helps us apply Ephesians 6. Because Paul, the idea there is to bring up, it means to nourish. It's the same word that's used for husbands nourishing and cherishing their wives. It means to feed and to bring up to maturity. It implies a tenderness. The idea with husbands and wives, the idea with fathers and children. And Paul says to do that in the discipline and structure of the Lord. A discipline is what we might consider the negative side, the correction side, the chastening side. And do we find that in the Old Testament? Absolutely. You know where we find it? In the book of Proverbs, over and over again. We're exhorted as fathers to discipline our children while there is still hope. To correct them, not only verbally, but physically. It involves chastening, correction. Hebrews 12, it says that God disciplines His children because He loves them. And this is not a new idea in Hebrews, not a new idea in Ephesians. This comes, again, from the Old Testament, from the Word of God. It is consistent throughout the discipline and the instruction. Instruction is the verbal instruction. Again, we might consider it the more positive side. This is thus saith the Lord. This is teaching our children what sin is, admonishing, exhorting, warning. It's what ought to come before discipline and after discipline. If we don't teach our children what sin is, we're a little bit cruel and we'll exasperate them when we punish them for sin. Yet this is the command to fathers in the Scriptures. This is what Paul says to the church in Ephesus who were living in a culture much like the church today in America. These were families, by and large, those who were not Jews, who had no idea what family discipleship meant. They probably didn't have a multi-generational vision. They were new believers. They were new to the family of God. What Paul gives in Ephesians 6 to fathers is not a new idea. It comes from Proverbs. It comes from Deuteronomy 6. It comes from what God had commanded His people and what we see exemplified in the life of Solomon and the life of David. With that in mind, I want us to turn to Proverbs. Not yet to chapter 4. I want to cover a few verses in chapter 1. Again, trying to make sure we rightly understand the context of the passage, that when we come to Proverbs, we understand, although it's not law, we understand that this is different genre of Scripture. This is still the Word of God. Incredibly helpful, instructive in correction and training and rebuking, that the man of God might be thoroughly furnished for every good work. This is primarily the work of Solomon. And as Solomon introduces this glorious collection of proverbial wisdom, He says these are the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, the king of Israel. This is who writes. This is who the Proverbs primarily come from. And he says it's to know wisdom and instruction, to discern the sayings of understanding, to receive instruction in wise behavior, righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the naive, to the youth knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase in learning, and a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel, to understand a proverb and a figure, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Then if you look at verse 8, this is a refrain that we'll hear throughout the book of Proverbs. It's said a little bit differently here and there, but then Solomon begins, "Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching." So Solomon introduces here what this book is about. And these are not just general principles that are somewhat true all over the place, and that, well, you might do this, you might do this. This is the Word of God. In proverbial form, it is the wisdom of God that we might have wisdom, instruction, we might have understanding, that we might know what is wise behavior, righteousness, justice, and equity. But there is no separation in the Word of God. In spite of the fact there are different genres, we approach Scripture a little differently, we need to be careful how we understand and apply it. This is the Word of God. This is the instruction of God, the wisdom of God. This is not just a wise man saying, you know, I got a few ideas about how I think this family ought to run and how the world ought to be run. That this is that we might hear and understand what is God's wisdom. We might understand what is righteousness, what is justice. That the focus seems to be throughout Proverbs, Solomon crying out not so much to the masses, but to his children. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Now turn to Proverbs 4. Hopefully getting a running start here, understanding the context, both biblically and both within the book, what we're looking at, what kind of literature, what kind of teaching that Solomon begins to give to his son and then turns to his own father as he appeals to his children to seek wisdom. Proverbs 4, verse 1, "Hear, O sons, the instruction of a father, and give attention that you may gain understanding, for I give you sound teaching. Do not abandon my instruction." We'll pick up here with David in just a second. But again, this is Solomon crying out to his children. Now, the word sons here, it can be used just for the masculine offspring of the man. That's certainly how it's used in Scripture. The word is also broader than that. It can mean children in general. So is here Solomon speaking only to his sons, all of his children? It's possible it's all. It can also be used of those who are disciples. Some take some of Solomon's words here and believe he's speaking not so much to his children, but to disciples, anyone who would come and seek wisdom, God's wisdom from Solomon. It certainly would seem primarily what we know of Solomon, what we know of David, and what Solomon says about his own father, that he's speaking to his children. Certainly those who are here this week, who preach the gospel, who disciple the church of God, we are not allowed, we cannot overlook our own children in order to disciple the masses and disciple the people of God. And Solomon pointing to his father David, that's exactly what David had done, what I believe Solomon is doing throughout these Proverbs. And what is he doing here? He's crying out to his children to listen to his instruction, to give attention that they may gain understanding. Notice here the heart of a godly father. He loves his children. He is pleading with them, appealing to them, instructing them, "Hear, O sons." The word "hear" is very similar to what we find in Ephesians chapter 6, not in Paul's instruction to fathers, but instructions to children, that they would obey. The word "hear" implies that. It means to hear, to obey, to listen carefully to. The most famous use of this word is from Deuteronomy 6. We've already talked about some this week. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one." And it goes on with the glorious teaching. Hear. Not just to let the sound pass over your ear that you might discern the words, but to really listen and obey. And Solomon is a godly father, not a perfect father, but a godly father seeking to obey the Lord, cries out to his children that they might hear him, hear his instruction. This word, very similar to Ephesians 6, can be instruction or discipline. It can either be the positive side of verbal instruction, saying, "Thus saith the Lord, here's what I want." It could also be the more difficult side of correction and even chastening. Other place in Proverbs, that's how this word is translated. It's the physical discipline. But here he is speaking to them to listen to the Father's instruction. Again, this is no ordinary teacher. Certainly, we come to a conference. There are many teachers, hopefully men of God, teaching the Word of God. And we've come to listen. We've come to apply. As Solomon pleads with his children, he reminds them that this is the instruction of no ordinary teacher, no preacher. This is their Father. We ought to, as fathers, understand not only that we ought to love our children and disciple them in the Word of God, teach them the wisdom of God, but as we're doing so, reminding them that God has placed us in a special position in their life as their Father. See, it's not just the Doug Phillips, the Scott Browns, the Don Harts, the Kevin Swansons our children ought to be listening to. It's not just their local pastor. They primarily, given to children, is their father and their mother in working with him to disciple them. And Solomon pleads with them to listen to the instruction of a father. Doesn't do a lot of good, does it, for us to disciple our children if they're not going to listen. But notice the appeal of Solomon. Hear, give attention, and then the reason that you may gain understanding. Tells them also not to abandon this instruction. I want to define the word understanding for us, an important word. We saw it in the first few verses of introduction of the book of Proverbs. It's throughout the book. It's used several times in this passage. It's a feminine noun, and it means understanding, comprehension, discernment, righteous action, and it carries a strong moral and religious connotation. It's important, I think, for us to understand as Solomon exhorts his children, as he points to his own father and how he exhorted him in the words of David, as a man who taught his children, that the goal of this instruction is understanding, is discerning what is right and what is wrong, is knowing good from evil. This word is used in Job 28, verse 28. And to man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. Sounds like Proverbs, doesn't it? And to depart from evil is understanding. Again, we're not just talking about general wisdom principles that are true for most cultures at most times. We are talking about the Word of God. That when we instruct our children, one of the goals is they might know what is righteous in the sight of God. They might know good from evil. And Solomon, as he begins to talk about his father, says to them, you need to listen to this, that you might gain understanding of what God has said and how God would have you to live. That is Proverbs over and over again. Lying lips, an abomination to God. Don't do this. God hates that. Don't do this. That is wicked. Be wise, not foolish. Over and again. A father crying out to his children to understand what God has said and how to apply it. And he says, for I give you sound teaching. It ought to sound familiar to us, again, looking from the continuity from Old Testament to New, throughout God's Word, throughout God's people, before the coming of the Messiah, after the coming of the Messiah, this is the goal of all instruction. It ought to be that we have sound teaching. The New Testament, it's typically the phrase sound doctrine. It's the same idea. Teaching is instruction. It's doctrine. And Solomon says, what I am giving you and what my father gave to me is sound. The word sound, it means good. And not good in Solomon's eyes or David's, but in God's. And Solomon begins this instruction to his children, calling from his memory the instruction of his father. He says to them, listen, pay attention. This is important. You need understanding. You need to know what God requires of you, how to live righteously before Him. And let me tell you what my father said to me. And he says, when I was tender, in the sight of my father, verse 3, when I was a son to my father, tender and the only son, the sight of my mother, then he taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast my words, keep my commandments, and live. Acquire wisdom. Acquire understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her and she will guard you. Love her and she will watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is acquire wisdom. With all your acquiring, get understanding. Prize her and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a garland of grace. She will present you with a crown of beauty. And there's some disagreement among scholars exists. How far does this quote of David go? I believe it goes through verse 9 because in verse 10, Solomon once again says, hear my sons, my instruction. Where he begins in verse 1, he picks up in verse 10. So I look at these verses and here's what Solomon is saying to his children. And this is the idea really that we're going for when we talk about multi-generational faithfulness. This is what we want. We want our children one day, by the grace and the glory of God, when they are married and have children, to be able to say, not only thus saith the Lord, but say, you know what, kids, this isn't just me telling you, this is what my dad taught me as he taught me the Word of God. This is how he exhorted me. This is what was important to my father. Oh, how glorious it is when generation after generation God brings it about in families. Again, I know that is not true of every family in this room or at this conference. By the grace of God, with the working of His Holy Spirit, that will be the case for generations to come. Oh, how good it is that Solomon, as he exhorts his children, pleads with them to listen to his instruction, that they might gain wisdom and understanding, that he can point back to a godly father, not a perfect father. You know King David? Man after God's own heart, adulterer and murderer as well. Not a perfect father, but a godly father. And notice what Solomon says about his parents' attitude towards him. When he speaks of being tender and the only son in the sight of his mother, we know he wasn't David's only son. He wasn't David's first son. But he was important to David. He was loved by his mother. He was loved by his father. And David demonstrated that love by seeking to disciple his son and teach him God's wisdom. When he was tender and the only son in the sight of his mother, he was beloved. We also know of Solomon that not just he was precious in the sight of David and Bathsheba, he was precious in the sight of God. It was Solomon who was chosen. It was Solomon that was loved by God among David's son and chosen to be the next king of Israel. Because of that, because he was loved by his parents, chosen of God, the king of Israel took time to disciple his son. Let me just point that out to us so we don't lose sight of that. The man who is saying this to his children, the man who's taking the time to write down these proverbial sayings, share them with his children, taking the time to say this is important, and who now is referencing his father, these were both kings. Now, I've never been a king. I would imagine it's a pretty important job. A lot to do, a lot of important things going on in the kingdom, enemies, wars, and whatnot, the economy. These were dads who were busy. They're dads who had great responsibility, yet because they loved their children, because David loved his son Solomon, he took the time to instruct him in the wisdom of God. As busy as I can be at times, there's no way I was as busy as the king of Israel. David took the time. What a glorious picture it is for Solomon to say to his kids, my dad, King David, this great king of Israel, chosen of God, he took the time to say to me, you need to listen. This is important. Listen to what the Word of God says. Understand righteousness. Get wisdom. As fathers, we cannot be, should not be so busy that we will not sit with our children as we rise up, as we lie down, as we walk along the road, saying to them, my son, God has given His wisdom through His Word. All of it is treasured in Christ. Seek it. Find it. Get a hold of it. Do not let go. David was the kind of father that taught his children, and Solomon says, because he loved me, because I mattered to him. If we love our children, not only will we discipline them in the sense of chastening sin, but we will also instruct them in the ways of God. And Solomon says, this is what my father did for me, and it's what I'm seeking to do for you. And look at the words of David. A couple of things that he says here that we need to really understand and to emphasize our own teaching. One, like Solomon, he exhorts his children to hold fast to his words. Let your heart hold fast my words. It's the idea of not just hearing, but receiving and retaining. This is a father who's communicating to his children, this is really, really important. You need to get this and you need to hold on to it. In your heart, hold fast to it. Don't just let it go in your ear and out the other. Don't just consider it for a second, let it go on. You need to grab hold of this. That's what hold fast means. It means to grasp and to hold on to. This is God's Word. This is His wisdom. This is not just an opinion of a father. This is not to be saying, you know, I think it might be a good idea if we planted the corn over there, if we cut that tree down. No, this is the wisdom of God. You've got to listen to this. You've got to hold fast to it. Keep my commandments and live, is what David said to Solomon. What Solomon communicates to his children, this is the Word of God. This is the wisdom of God. This is no mere trifle. This is important. Keep means to obey. To obey the Word of God, to walk in His wisdom and live. In Proverbs 7, it says, my son, keep my words and treasure my commandments within you. Keep my commandments and live. And my teaching is the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers. Write them on the tablet of your heart. These are important things. Again, these are not just the thoughts of a father. This is the wisdom of God. This is the word of God, an application. These are the commandments of God. This is righteous living before God. This is life or death. That's how important this is. And Solomon is trying to communicate that to his children. Again, as we have family worship, as we teach our children, again, rising up, lying down, walking along the road, as we're eating, all that we're doing, trying to speak to them about the things of God, do they get the idea that this is really, really, really important? Or is this just something else that we're doing in our day, just another check of the box off of homeschooling? You know, do your math, do your chores, read the Bible. You might think about praying, and yeah, we'll read that later. As though the Word of God, the wisdom of God, is no different than math, no different than cutting the grass, no different than making your bed. I mean, there is none of that here, not from Solomon, not from David. This is life. This is God's Word. This is really that important. Now, you may think to yourself, well, John, that's easy for you to say. I mean, you're a preacher. This is what you do. It's obviously you can be passionate about the things of God. I will confess to you, it's much easier here than it is at home. Much, much easier. It's not because I don't believe it at home. It's not because I'm not truly passionate about it. It's just different. The context is different. The situation is different. I don't stand behind a pulpit. I'm not wearing a suit. We're all sitting around the table. It's a little more casual. But is this really important to me? Do I want it to be important to my children? Certainly, I'm not in any way saying that it's not ultimately up to the Spirit of God to convict them and change them, give them passion about the things of God. But do they see it in me? Or is this just something else we have to do out of duty? We've got to get it done over with so we can get to the dishes so I can take a break and relax. It's not what David does. Not what Solomon is doing. He cries out to his children that these things are important. They need to not only hear them, but to receive them, to hold fast to them. Acquire wisdom, he says. I don't know if it's there in the Hebrew, my Bible, it's exclamation point. I think that's right. This is not a father kind of happy look and say, you know, you might think about wisdom. You might think about getting some, you know, it'd be all right. It might be beneficial. I don't know. But if you don't feel like it, that's fine. I don't want to pressure you. Acquire wisdom. Acquire understanding. Acquire means to get it, to purchase it, to possess it. And the idea throughout Proverbs is this wisdom of God is more precious than anything else, more precious than gold, more precious than silver, more precious than jewels, anything else you might think is valuable. So get it. It's the most valuable thing out there. Go get it. Yes, fine, earn a living, do this, do that, but you've got to get wisdom. If you forsake everything else, you're not able to get gold, if you're not able to get silver, fine. Don't miss out on this. Get wisdom. Acquire wisdom. Acquire understanding. Wisdom, the idea is wisdom, skill, experience, or shrewdness. Again, this is God's wisdom. It's contrasted with worldly wisdom, with worldly philosophies. How does God say to live? What is discerning good from evil? That is wisdom. Again, understanding is comprehension, discernment, righteous action. Again, this is consistent throughout the Word of God. And we turn to the New Testament, you know what we find? That the wisdom of God described in Proverbs is not separate from the Christian life. It's completely one and the same. That's one of the reasons that Kevin Swanson so emphasized the book of Proverbs. The Old Testament, the law of God, the wisdom of God, all that's there is not something that's antithetical to Christianity. Christianity, again, is informed by it, built off of it. What do we find in the New Testament? That understanding and wisdom, those things that David said to Solomon, Solomon was saying to his children, we ought to be saying to our children, those things we ought to be acquiring, do you know where they're found? You know, well, yeah, the book of Proverbs, yes, but they're found in Christ. This is not separate from Christianity. It's not addition to Christianity. This is Christianity. We are to put on Christ. Colossians 2, Paul writes, for I want you to know how great a struggle I have on your behalf, and for those who are at Laodicea, and for all those who have not personally seen my face, that their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love and attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is, Christ himself. Coming to a true knowledge of God's mystery. What is this great mystery? It's Christ. What does he say? In Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. What is it that Solomon was writing about in Proverbs? Wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Where do we find wisdom and knowledge, according to Paul? In Christ. In Christ. That's how important this is. That's why, like Solomon, like David, we ought to be passionate about these things and saying to our children, hold fast to these words, because they're not my words. These are God's words. This is God's wisdom, and it is found in Christ, all the treasures of it. Christ, the power of God, and the what? The wisdom of God. That's the wisdom that Solomon and David are talking about. Again, if these are just the mere thoughts of a wise man, just the mere words of a father, so what? This is the word of God. This is what Solomon is communicating to his children, what he's saying his father said to him. They need to hear them and hold fast to them. The same is true of us. The same argument needs to be made of us. Whether we can say, my father taught to me or not, is not what's important. But say to our children, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are found in Christ. Hold fast to him. Hold fast to him. Do not allow yourself to be persuaded by vain philosophy, by empty teaching, by deception, by the elementary principles of the world. Do not allow that to happen. This is that important. This is the battle. But the world will clamor for our children. The devil will come for them and seek to tell them, don't believe that. This is really wisdom. This is really the right way to live. This will get you rich. This will make you happy. This will make you successful. And the world's wisdom is contrary to God's wisdom. And all of God's wisdom there is found in Christ. This is his words. These are his proverbs. And how do we warn our children against these things? Old and New Testament alike, by pointing them to God, by pointing them to his wisdom, by encouraging them, exhorting them, persuading them to hold fast to these words because they are God's words. Is the wisdom found in Christ. And David continues in saying, do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Remember what I'm telling you. Again, this is important. It's that important. Don't just hear it and then go on about your business. You need to hear it. You need to think about it. You need to retain it. And throughout the rest of your life, do not let go. Do not let go. This is the word of God. Do not forget nor turn away from words of my mouth. Both Solomon, and as he quotes his father David, that's one of their emphases that they're making here. This is so important. This is God's wisdom. This is understanding. This is right living before God. This is how God would have you to live in your marriage, in your family, in your business, in every area of life. God has spoken. He has given us instruction. He's given us his law. We're going to apply this. This is life. Don't forget it. Again, when we communicate these things to our children with that heart, with that kind of passion, with that kind of emphasis, it ought to be. It ought to be. Remember, do not forsake, do not turn away. In Proverbs 4, again, a little further down, again, where I believe Solomon picks back up his own instruction to his son. He says, hear, my son, and accept my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. I have directed you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in the upright paths. When you walk, your steps will not be impeded. If you run, you will not stumble. Take hold of instruction, do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life. Take hold of instruction, do not let go. Guard her. Hear, understand, retain. Do not let go. All the days of your life, hold on to it. Again, going further in Colossians, there again where Christ is called the wisdom, that all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are in Christ. There, Paul's exhortation, very similar. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus, Lord, so walk in him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed and overflowing with gratitude. Again, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are found in Christ. And what are we exhorted to do in the New Testament? Hold fast to him. For how long? All the days of our life. Walk in him. Again, these are not in conflict. These are in complete harmony. This is the wisdom of God. Christ representing being the very wisdom of God. All this good, godly wisdom flowing from Christ to his people. We are to hear it, to retain it, to receive it, to hold fast to it, not to forget it, not to turn away from it, because this is life. This is that important. And the next thing that David talks about that we ought to also be talking about with our families is not just that wisdom is that important, not just that it's better than gold and silver and we ought to do it, not just that it's right and all that is true, but that there is a blessing that comes from seeking wisdom and walking in it. There is a blessing. Verse 6, do not forsake her, and she will guard you. Love her, and she will watch over you. I love Hebrew wisdom literature. It's very different than American poetry. We like repetition in the sense of rhyming. This word rhymes with this word, rhymes with this word. You hear it in songs and in poems. In Hebrew wisdom literature, it's typically not anything to do with rhyming. It's repetition. And yet it will change just slightly to help us understand. Well, I need that. I mean, say it once, that's great, I might get it. Say it a little differently right after that. Okay, that better shot that I'm going to get it. And what is the benefit here of seeking wisdom, of acquiring understanding, and not forsaking and turning away from God's wisdom? If you don't forsake her, she will guard you, love her, and she will watch over you. Wisdom protects us. Again, what do we want for our children? What have we talked about this conference? In this room, the other room, and all the rooms, one of the important principles is we protect our children from evil, from bad influences. We protect them from false philosophies. That's one of our goals. Well, guess what wisdom does? It protects you. And that's not just for children, that's for all of us. How are we to be protected? David, again, not from Proverbs, from Psalms, how was he seeking to be protected from sin? He hid God's word in his heart that he would not sin against God. He meditated upon God's law. He loved God's law. And one of the benefits was what? That he would not sin. The treasuring God's word, loving God's word, seeking God's wisdom, acquiring and holding on to it, it is a guard and a protection. Wisdom watches over us if we love her. Again, it's not just don't forsake, but it is to prize, to cherish. That is a priority, is our joy. In Proverbs 2, verse 10, it says, "For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will guard you. Understanding will watch over you." Protect us from what? Listen to verse 12. "To deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things, from those who leave the paths of righteousness to walk in the ways of darkness, who delight in doing evil and rejoice in the perversity of evil, whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways, to deliver you from the strange woman, from the adulteress who flatters with her words." That's what wisdom will guard us and our children from. From the evil person. We see throughout Proverbs that Solomon is warning his children, "My son, when sinners entice you, don't go with them. Bloodthirsty men going out seeking to get rich by killing and hurting people, do not go. Son, when the flattering woman comes, seeks to seduce you, do not go. Do not listen, for God has said this. And her paths lead to destruction." Again, is any wonder that Solomon and David cried to the children, "This is life. This is important. Listen to me. This is not just a passive thing, not just something you can listen or not listen to. This is life." And one of the blessings of wisdom, of teaching our children the wisdom of God, of following it ourselves, of acquiring and getting it, is that it protects us. It guards us from the false philosophies, from the wicked people, from the adulterous people, from all the sin going on around us that grieves us. Wisdom protects us from that. And David says to Solomon, "Get wisdom, acquire it, get understanding. It will guard you, it will protect you." And then he says that wisdom is the principal thing. When he says the beginning of wisdom is acquire wisdom, one way of translating the beginning of wisdom is wisdom is the primary thing, therefore get wisdom. This is that important. It's primary. So get it. Gold is a primary. Silver is a primary. All these other things aren't primary. Wisdom is that we might again have discernment, understanding what is right and what is wrong, that we might, when people entice us, when the devil seeks to tempt us, our own flesh would seek to lead us astray, we know what God has said and we understand how to apply it. Get wisdom. He also speaks of the blessing that wisdom will exalt you. Wisdom will exalt you. Prize her. Prize means to lift to a place of honor. Children, make this important part of your life. We need to be saying to our kids, "This is that important, and here's what you need to do. You need to make this a priority." And you know what? If you do that, if you prize God's wisdom, if you honor it, then she's going to exalt you. If you embrace her, meaning cling to with fond affection. Again, this is not a grudging, "Oh, fine, I'll read a proverb, then I'm on my way." No, no. If you prize her, if you value her, if you look at God's wisdom as a thing of joy, a thing of life, a thing of blessing, then she will honor you. Again, the idea is to exalt, to raise up, and then he gives this glorious picture, which is the picture of the wreath of victory for the conquerors. She will place on your head a garland of grace. She will present you with a crown of beauty. Again, this is the king's crown. This is the king talking and saying, "You know what wisdom will do for you? She'll put a crown on your head. A garland of grace. You will be a conqueror. You will be victorious. You will be honored. If you seek wisdom, you acquire wisdom." That's what Solomon was trying to impart to his children, saying, "This is what my father said to me, and he's exactly right." Acquire wisdom, acquire understanding, because there is a blessing in it. So how do we apply these things? A couple of things here. Hopefully I've already said, just kind of repeat. One is we need to be pleading with our children, Lord willing, grandchildren, and maybe great-grandchildren. We need to be pleading with them to seek the wisdom of God. Listen to what Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians 2 about his own ministry. He says, "For you recall, brethren, our labor and hardship. Sound like parenting? Yep, labor and hardship. How working night and day, again, sounds familiar, so as not to be a burden to any of you, we proclaim to you the gospel of God. I hope that's part of your parenting. You are witnesses, and so is God, how devoutly and uprightly and blamelessly behaved towards you believers. Listen to the next verse. Just as you know how we were exhorting and encouraging and imploring each one of you as a father would his own children. So what's the example Paul gives of his ministry, saying, here's what we did, and this is what any good father would do. Exhorting, encouraging, imploring his own children so that you would walk in a manner worthy of the God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. Is that not what we want for our children? That they would walk in a manner worthy of the God who calls them into his own kingdom and glory. I hope that's what we want. I hope that's what this conference is all about, that we were being godly fathers, not just so someone will say, wow, what a great dad. Everyone else will think we're great. No, it's to the glory of God that our children might walk in his truth. And how does Paul describe a godly father, one who exhorts, encourages, and implores his children? Again, we cannot be passive about these things. I have been far too passive. And at times, I almost feel embarrassed at times. Sometimes when I get really passionate at dinner about these things, that should not embarrass us. We need to be passionate about these things. If it's important, if it means a lot to us, our children ought to understand that. And let me say very quickly here that what I'm not saying is that we all have to be like Kevin Swanson. If you notice, I have not moved there. I've been stuck behind this pulpit. My hands have moved. My mouth has moved. My feet have pretty much cemented. I'm not Kevin Swanson. And there was a time in my life when God began to, I feel like he was calling me to preach. I looked at other preachers that I had grown up with, other preachers that I knew, other pastors. I thought, I'm not like them. I can't be a preacher. I'm not like that. God doesn't call me to be like Kevin Swanson. I praise God for Kevin Swanson. You know what? I'm not like Scott Brown either. Praise God for Scott Brown and who he is and how the Lord uses him. I'm not Doug Phillips. I am John Latham. And as much as I would love to be some of those other men in various ways, that is not who God has made me to be. Not in personality, not in temper, not in nature. It's not. So I'm not saying you have to be Kevin Swanson at the dinner table. But whoever God has made you to be, whatever your personality is, I guarantee you, your kids have seen you get passionate about something. Perhaps it was just a football game. I have seen the most mild-mannered man get really excited, really passionate, really loud about a football game. Our kids know what's important to us. It's what we're passionate about. And even the most mild-mannered father, a godly father, needs to communicate to his children, this is the word of God, this is the wisdom of God, this is really, really, really important. And if you speak quietly, then guess what? Maybe you need to get even quieter when you speak about these things, that your kids know, oh, wow, Dad got really quiet. This must be really important. It's not about being loud. I can be loud. It's not about being loud, but it is about communicating to our children, these are the words of life. It is that important. Hear me. Listen to me. Listen to all the words throughout both Solomon and David communicating their son. They're pleading with him, imploring him, listen, get this, retain it, keep it. This is so important. I've told you lots of things today, kids, but you can't ignore this. Oh, this is so much more important than chores, so much more important than math, so much more important than everything else I'm going to say. You've got to listen. This is the word of God, the wisdom of God. Hear this, retain it, hold on to it. These are the words of life. These are not mere moral truths. Again, another proverb, Proverbs 3. How blessed the man who finds wisdom, and the man who gains understanding, for her profit is better than the profit of silver, and her gain better than fine gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire compares with her. Long life is in her right hand, her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who hold her fast. Proverbs 19:8, he who gets wisdom loves his own soul. He who keeps understanding will find good. Solomon understood this is that important and sought to communicate to his children that it's that important to get their attention, seek to keep their attention. They might hear what he's saying. If this is important to us, our children ought to know it. They shouldn't just get it by osmosis. They shouldn't just get it because we take them to church on Sunday and every once in a while we read the Bible kind of haphazardly or lackadaisically and we read it as just trying to go through the motions and doing our duty. That is not communicating these are the words of life. That's communicating I've got a duty, I'm going to do it, and then I'm going to go about my business. The real priority is what I'm going to do in my office. The real priority is what's on TV. The real priority is the football game. The real priority is everything else. And oh, by the way, I'm going to throw this in because, well, Scott Brown said I should. I felt a little bit convicted when Doug Phillips said I ought to. Again, I'm not just preaching to you, I'm preaching to me. Are these the words of life? Do you believe that? Are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge found in Christ? Is it that important? Does that demonstrate to your children by the time you spend in it, by the way you go about it? Again, far too often, my preaching in the pulpit has been so different than my preaching at home. Shame on me. May God give me the grace to change, to communicate with my children the way David and Solomon. And these things are that important than gold, more important than silver. Hear them, acquire them, hold on to them. Second thing we need to be doing is always promoting the blessing of seeking the wisdom of God. And this is found throughout Proverbs over and over again. My family's been reading through Proverbs in preparation for this conference. It's amazing how often that the writer, that God, the Holy Spirit says, do this and you get this, do this and this happens, do this and do this. Blessing after blessing after blessing. Again, we don't confuse that with covenantal promises, with things that are true for eternity, things that are always true. No, the diligent aren't always the wealthiest guy in the city. That's not always true, but diligence does bring wealth. It is true. It's a principle. Slothness does bring poverty. There are plenty of lazy people who somehow have a lot of money. My guess is their dad was diligent. Maybe their granddad was diligent. But yet the promise of God, the blessing of God, is attached to not only seeking wisdom, but walking in wisdom. Yes, even seeking wisdom, there's a promise. There's blessing there. Just seeking it is good. Again, Proverbs 3, my son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace, they will add to you. Anybody want that for yourself and your children? Length of days, years of life, peace, they will add to you. I want that for my house. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tab of your heart. So you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man. You want that? One of the blessings attached to wisdom, good repute in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. You probably know this one. And do not lean on your own understanding in all your ways. Acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce, so your barns be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Blessing after blessing after blessing. So we communicate these things to our children. It's not just a duty that they owe to God to acquire wisdom, understanding it. It is life. It's right. It's good. They ought to do it. But there's also blessing here. This isn't just do this because I said so. It's not just do this because God says so. Certainly that would be enough. He's God. We ought to obey him. But God in his goodness, in his kindness, doesn't just say to his children, do this because I'm God. He says, if you obey me, guess what? I'm going to bless you in that. Even knowing that the only reason we obey God is because he's working in us to give us the desire and act according to his good purpose. Yet still, as a good and loving father, he blesses his children when they seek his ways, his wisdom, and they try to walk in them. Again, I will be confessional to you here and say, I have struggled with this most of my life. Most of my life, the very idea that you would attach some sort of blessing to obedience just seemed wrong to me. I mean, it seems selfish, doesn't it? I mean, I should just do what's right because it's right, not because I'm going to get something out of it. And in most cases, yes, that would be a wrong attitude. There's a little old lady, she's carrying her groceries, she's struggling. Should I help her? Should I not help her? I wonder if she'll pay me. I probably could make $5. All right, I'm going to go do it. That's wrong. It's not the right attitude. It's not the right approach about life. But yet, this is God's plan. This is God's offer. This is what God has designed, so we know it's right. We know it's righteous. We know it's good. And what has God said? He has attached blessing to obedience, blessing to seeking wisdom, blessing to walking in his ways. This is not selfish motivation. This is understanding that at God's right hand are pleasures forevermore. And it is right and good that we want that. And God says, you know what? You walk in my wisdom. You walk in my ways. That's what I'm going to help you find. Those are good things. We ought to want those things. And the reality is we seek for those things. We seek for health for our bodies. We seek for peace. We seek to have a good reputation. But we seek them apart from the Lord, apart from his grace, apart from his wisdom. We don't find them. We find all sorts of bad things, and yet God has offered to his children good things when they seek his wisdom. Are we communicating that to our families? Again, God keep us from just saying to our kids, do this because I said so, or even do this because God said so. There is more to the gospel and to the word of God than that. That is sterile. It is making God out to be this king off in the far part of the universe who's given rules, who cares nothing for his people, who doesn't have good gifts to offer them. And yet when Christ comes and speaks about God, so often he speaks about him in terms of fatherhood. And what does he say about him? Oh, he is a good father. He is a perfect. Oh, yeah, look at you sinful fathers. Even you know how to take care of your kids most of the time. Oh, he is a good father. And when you ask for bread, you know what he's never going to do? He's never going to give you a rock. When you ask for fish, he will never give you a snake. He is a good father. Oh, and he loves you, and he has attached blessing to his wisdom, to seeking it. David and Solomon both communicating that to their children. This is God's plan. This is what God has offered. We need to seek it. There is blessing. There is value to wisdom. It's not just a duty. There's glory and blessing there. We need to preach that to our children. And finally, we need to be persuading our children to persevere in the wisdom of God. Hopefully you caught that in what Solomon was saying, what David is saying. This isn't a one-time pursuit. This is not a go down the store and buy wisdom. This is not just hear this one teaching, you're fine. No, this is get it, hear it, retain it. Do not abandon it. Do not forget or turn away. Let your heart hold fast to it. Again, if we go further down in Proverbs chapter 4, this same chapter, again, Solomon cries out and says, "My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your hearts. For they are life to those who find them and health to all their body. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life." Again, this is important. There is blessing. Don't let go of it. Do not abandon it. Do not forsake it. Hold fast to it. Cling to it. Again, that's what Paul exhorts us in Colossians, that Christ in him has found all the treasures of the wisdom and knowledge of God, and we have been rooted in him. Now we need to be built up in him. We need to hold fast to him. He is the head. We will grow in maturity as we hold fast to Christ. And part of that is not just hearing God's wisdom, not just acquiring it, but clinging to it. Again, this is life. You're going to let it go? You're going to hear it, hold on to it for 5 minutes, and go, "Yeah, that was okay. This looks really interesting over here." As we are exhorting our families, teaching our children about the wisdom of God, we need to not only be saying to them, this is really, really important, being passionate about it in our hearts and our actions, not only showing them that there is blessing here attached to it, but exhorting them all the days of our life to hold fast to these things. It is my understanding that the relationship changes between a father and son once that son marries. You may have a different understanding. I'm not sure what Scott's understanding is. The relationship changes, but you know what I'm not going to stop doing as a father? Exhorting my children to walk in the ways of God. I have a duty to do that. They ought to listen to that, again, in a different way than they did when they were 3 and 4 and 5. But still, I hope that God will give me length of days and years, and I might continue to say to my children, get wisdom, get understanding. When you get it, hold on to it. We have a great opportunity as our children live in our houses and eat at our tables. I have a son that's married now. It changes. He's not in my house all the time. He's there a lot, praise God. I don't have all the opportunities I do with my children that are still at home. This is a season to say them over and over again, get wisdom, acquire understanding. Encourage them to persevere in the faith, to persevere in this seeking of God's wisdom and walking in it. As long as I draw breath, I hope I'm continuing to exhort my children to do that. Not only does David, in the life of Solomon, when he is a young man, instruct him in the ways of God, in the wisdom of God, but even as an old man near his death, as Solomon is a grown man, a married man, a man who's about to take over the kingdom of Israel, David is still exhorting his son in the way of wisdom. 1 Chronicles 28:9-10. "As for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father and serve him with a whole heart and a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts, understands every intent of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will let you find him. But if you forsake him, he will reject you forever. Consider now, for the Lord has chosen you to build a house for the sanctuary. Be courageous and act." Serve God. Serve him with your whole heart. This is David at the end of his life, while he still draws breath, exhorting his grown son who's about to be king in the ways of God and the wisdom of God. He doesn't quit. He doesn't stop. And even in David's own life, he's trying to demonstrate perseverance in the things of God. I heard the story of Matthew Henry, the great commentator, who's a wonderful commentator on the whole of Scripture. He was such a man who so loved his children, so sought to apply the Word of God, that even when he was dying on his deathbed, he gathered his family around him and was saying to his children, "I am going to be with my Father. I am going to be with Jesus in heaven. Oh, I want so badly for you to be there with me." And continued to preach the gospel to his children who had heard it all of his life. All of their life he had been preaching the gospel. All of their lives he had been taking the Word of God, appealing to them. And these are children who made profession of faith, and yet still, as a father on his deathbed, preaching the gospel, appealing to them to persevere in the faith. No, the good news, gentlemen, is this job doesn't end once they're married. We still have the glory and the privilege of exhorting our children to seek the wisdom of God that are found, all of it, in Christ as long as we draw breath. To say to them, this really is that important. It's the primary thing. Seek it. Get wisdom. Get understanding that you might know how to walk before God in holiness. Seek it. We might continue to say to our children, oh, there is good things here. God, as a loving Father, has attached rich blessing if we will seek His wisdom and seek to walk in it. Not only is the good example of David here as he taught his son the wisdom of God, but all throughout his life, there at the very end of it, still pleading, still imploring, still exhorting, still encouraging that his son might walk in the ways of God, because it's that important. David, a father who taught his son, I long to be that kind of father who would do so with the same kind of passion and communicate to my children, this really is life. This is the way of God. There is wisdom here. Hear it. Retain it. Do not abandon it. Walk in it. And God will bless you for it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how good your word is from beginning to end. Each and every different type, we graciously receive and rejoice in the narratives, in the law, in the wisdom literature. Lord, how beautiful it is, how helpful. We thank you, Father, that all these things draw us and point us to Christ and communicate His truth. We thank you, Father, that all the wisdom that is found in Christ has been given to us in your word, that we might study it, meditate upon it, we might prize it and treasure it, and we might understand it and apply it. And Father, give us the grace to do so. As men and women, as children, Lord, and give us the grace, those of us who are our fathers or one day soon will be fathers, that we might implore and teach these things to our children as Solomon sought to do and David sought to do, that every godly father might have that conviction, desire, that we might make it a priority. Thank you, Father, for the wisdom you have shared with us in your word. Help us to rightly understand and